accident, critically injured, and rushed to the hospital. You can hear the medical professionals talking about how bad things are, however, you are unable to speak. Now what? Hi, everyone. I'm Kathy Wyatt-Poholsky. Welcome to The Art of Aging, a 20-minute podcast to encourage independence and peace of mind by informing, educating, and celebrating you. A conversation with Catherine Swinarski in just 30 seconds. First, your AOA tip of the day. Many of us have been visiting with our elderly parents on the phone through the window lately. If they seem a bit confused, it could be the delay between when you speak and when they hear the message. Instead of using two cell phones, try a cell phone and a landline. If that's not possible, just be aware of the situation, checking for understanding. If you speak clearly enough, this may actually be one of those times when wearing a mask while talking can be beneficial. Now back to our topic, powers of attorney. Joining me to talk more about them is Catherine Swinarski. Catherine is managing attorney and owner of Elder Law of Omaha. Welcome.
Thank you.
All right, I want to go back to the introduction, Catherine, and the individual taken to the hospital in critical condition. What generally does happen next?
Well, there's two scenarios. The first would be that there would be documents in place that would allow the doctor to reach out to someone to make a decision for that person to get critical medical care on board right away. The other scenario would be for them to fumble around looking for someone who has the ability to make a decision. Barring that, there may be a phone call to someone that is going to, in general, talk about what may need to be done. Certainly, if it's life and death, it may even justify a visit to court to have a guardian appointed, if it's something that's going to be long range and ongoing.
And that is just added stress that individuals and their families don't need, especially in a time like that. I mean, our listeners really need to try to put themselves in the place of these people. Mm-hmm. If you're wanting to be with your loved one at a time like that, but instead you're running around trying to figure out, you know, how to manage. Is there a certain story that comes to mind for you, Catherine, when you think about that, a family that's come to you and said, oh, I wish we'd have known about that?
We actually do. We had a lady who was had a severe stroke. And after she had her stroke, there were some very significant decisions that needed to be made. And of course, the doctors looked to her husband to be able to do that. He did not have the proper paperwork in place. And so they put her on a ventilator, even though the husband insisted that she would choose not to if she was able to speak for herself. Put her on a ventilator long enough to go down to court, which took the next day. He was appointed her guardian. Ultimately, the expense was much larger than just legal documents. And then he was able to then withdraw the life support. But it was all so traumatic and so much more difficult than it had to be, because if he had been holding the right documents and a doctor looked over, he would have just shook his head no, and she would have been allowed to pass peacefully. So there are so many of those stories.
You talk about right documents. Tell mm-hmm. us what you mean by that.
So the essential things that anybody between 19 and 99, and I mean that because when my children, and I have six of them, turn 18, it's like, happy birthday, and here's a power of attorney, because it is so necessary for a family member to be able to make decisions for that young adult. Then all the way to the end of life. Anytime in that interim, you need to appoint someone, be it a family member, a trusted friend, someone who can step in and make those critical decisions for you, mostly regarding finances and health care. Those are the two big ones that we always focus on. There are some little ancillary other things that can be addressed, HIPAA authorizations, medical directives. Medical directives are important as well. But I would say the health care power of attorney, the financial power of attorney are the two big ones.
Briefly talk about each of those, Catherine. I mean, I think we think healthcare, and of course, if we're not in a critical situation, we don't really give it as much thought mm-hmm. as maybe we should. Same thing with finances.
Right.
So talk about some of the things that are important for our listeners to know in terms of each of those.
So I know people think of those things as only coming into play in a catastrophic situation, but really lots of little things happen along the way in our lifetime. So for example, I serve as my mom's healthcare power of attorney. That gives me the right to go in and be that extra set of ears if she's in the doctor's and she doesn't remember what dosage they've changed her medication to. I have the right to go and sit interact with the doctor, talk. Now, my mom has capacity. She's 82, but she's with it in every way. She tends to not remember some of those details, and I can help her do that. If I was not her healthcare power of attorney, I would not have the right to go sit in that chair, talk to the doctor, do things that would help her on her way in getting good healthcare. The other is financial power of attorney. There's lots of little things that happen in finances. For example, my husband was deployed maybe 4 or 5 times over the course of our marriage. He's retired now. While he was gone, I bought a car once with a financial power of attorney because we needed a new minivan, and he was gone, and I was able to sign his name on the dotted line. I would not have been able to do that unless I had somehow managed to mail it for the number of weeks it took to get to Afghanistan, have him sign it in front of a notary, which is impossible to find in Afghanistan, and then get it back to me. So those kinds of things are absolutely essential in all the little things in life as well. And then building up to that, those final decisions that are so important at the end of life, they are still there for us when we need them.
Talk about the term incapacitated.
So incapacitated is either for a while we're under anesthetic. It may be just come and go, depending on if we're having medical treatment, or we could be on safari across the world and not be able to get a hold of us because we can't get cell phone coverage. So that's incapacitated. And sometime we all know that it's possible that we were going to become incapacitated for our entire life. But until that time happens, there may be periods here and there where we just simply aren't able to make decisions at that moment. Someone can step in that we trust, that we have talked to, that knows how we feel about these things. And then we come back to ourselves, we take our power back, and then we are able to go on doing what we want to do and what we need to do.
Let's talk about the agent, someone we trust. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes I think, especially parents, they want to look to their children first, mm-hmm. because it's their children, and they
Absolutely.
Feel like that's the right thing to be
they
doing.
They don't just want to look to their children, they want to look to their oldest child,
yes.
no matter what he or she may be able to or unable to do. It's an honorary thing, and I always have to get over that hump and say, okay, let's really talk about who would be the appropriate person. It may be your oldest son. He may be a financial wizard. He may have all of his ducks in a row. It could be your niece that is able to do these things for us. Let's be honest. Let's talk what's important here. Nobody else is in the room, and that's what's important for us, just to be chatting one-on-one. Who do you think is the best person? Many times, of course, when it's a married couple, a spouse is our first choice, and that makes sense because we have joint accounts. We have a lot of things in common, but certainly if we're a single person, we're going to look to a broader view. Who we are not going to choose is a caregiver. Caregivers should not serve as powers of attorney, either healthcare or financial. Most caregiver companies have clauses in their contracts that say that they cannot. It's even statutory that they should not serve as powers of attorney. It's not appropriate, and it should not be done. It should also not be that guy, that nice handyman that comes every once in a while and putters around and does stuff for you, and you don't really know him, but you think he's a good guy. It's that person that you know that you have a longstanding relationship with, that you can always know that you're going to depend on. And it may change over time. We do it for a period of time. Something happens. People become estranged. People pass. We need to revisit our documents and make sure that they're still appropriate.
Yeah, I think one of the things that people don't stop to consider because they're not in a position where they have to is where especially the healthcare power of attorney mm-hmm. resides.
Right.
Because if you are in that accident that we talked about at the beginning of this podcast, you're going to want somebody
Exactly.
who not only can get there in a hurry, but is able to think on their feet. And as you alluded to, knows you well enough
Yep.
to be able to be your voice. Have you seen that in much of what you're doing? And
Absolutely.
Steer people?
I always say I have a rule of 45. 45 minutes or 45 miles. That healthcare power of attorney should be able to get to your side. Now, that means that if your child lives far away, you may need to pick that neighbor that you've known for a long time. And she will be there when the ambulance takes you, and she'll be on the cell phone with your daughter, who lives in Denver, and your daughter's going to get on a plane as quickly as she can. But you have somebody on the ground that can make decisions right away that you have appointed. So we always look for a local somebody to at least be the first or be the co so she or he or she can step in. Now, financial power of attorney is completely different. So in this age of internet, in this age of doing things on the phone, I actually have a client that lives at Nye Point in Fremont, and his daughter lives in Virginia and his son lives in Paris. And they have cared for him financially for years and years because they're very good at doing all those things to deal with his finances. So financial power of attorney does not need to be local.
Okay. And you mentioned it, but maybe this idea of an alternate, in mm-hmm. the event that the person you've designated is no longer
exactly.
able to serve, talk about alternates down to the relationship and
exactly.
how important that is.
Well, the first thing we need to avoid is doing things by committee. So frequently we will have a family with 5 or 6 or 7 children, and they all want to be mom's financial power of attorney, and they all want to be dad's healthcare power of attorney. Doing anything by committee, as we all know, is never going to work out very well. So really, pick a point person, pick someone who is going to be mostly in charge, and certainly have them either backed up by another person, so if they were unable or unwilling to serve at that time, somebody could step in easily, or have a co, which is two people, and they can serve either independently or alone, depending on if they're there, if they're traveling, or whatever, if you have the luxury of having two people in your life, which sometimes people do not. Sometimes we sit and we think and we rack our brains to find enough people to serve in these capacities. We have orphan elders that don't have anyone, and we think about who could we find. And many times we will find a nice lady at church that you have a longstanding relationship or something, but they don't have the luxury of having more than one. But many people do, and when they do, we do it.
Okay, thank you. And so we've now picked the most appropriate person. Let's drill down a little bit. We have that taken care of. Now let's talk the language in the document, mm-hmm. because you hear people say, I'm just going to call that form up online. I'm just going to print that template out. But the language, Catherine, is so important.
Absolutely important. So Nebraska became a Uniform Power of Attorney Act state in 2013. My comprehensive power of attorney went from 4 pages to 24 pages overnight, because there was encompassing language in the old statute that said, my agent can do anything for me that I could do for myself. Boom. And you would see powers of attorney that were 1 page long. No direction, no any indication of what you might want that person to do for you, just he can do whatever I can do. Well, the Uniform Power of Attorney Act states that virtually everything they can do for you financially has to be spelled out line by line by line. That means securities, annuities, tax information, all of those things. They need to be there so that someone at Prudential or at the bank can look and see, oh, paragraph 6 says that you can do exactly what you're here to do. We're not going to delay anything. We're just going to get this thing done for your loved one. Let's do this thing. The alternative to that is old, terrible documents that are very vague. I mean, the only way that I would say that you should do something on the internet is if you will absolutely not do anything any other way. That they are the only alternative to having nothing. It would be something on the internet, then do the internet. But really, it's like having your disease diagnosed by WebMD, and we know what that means and how that works. Attorneys, there are a variety of expense that's regarding that, but when it comes down to it, everybody that I deal with has always said, you know what, it was worth it. It made a difference. I was able to save something. I was able to preserve something. I was able to do something. I was able to not have a delay in taking care of something. It made that much of a difference, both financial and healthcare.
Okay, this might be a good time now to talk about Elder Law of mm-hmm. Omaha.
Yeah. Elder Law of Omaha is a law firm that I started about 11 years ago at my dear friend Anita and cousin's kitchen table. And so my grandmother had gone to live an independent living, and she was very independent. And she had ladies at her lunch table, and on her floor she would always tell them, oh, you're having trouble with your will, sweetie. You need something done with your trust. My granddaughter will do that, and she won't even charge you anything for it. So I found myself practicing elder law, and it is the best gig ever. My clients have the most amazing stories. They have lived through such amazing times. And as opposed to most attorneys that somehow encourage people to fight longer, because that's kind of what we do, we encourage people to get along, and we encourage people to solve problems. It is the most gratifying thing. And I this through this whole COVID thing, the lack of hugs, the lack of handshakes has been the hardest thing that we have had to struggle with. But elder law focuses on the needs of people over 55 and people that are disabled. So we have a very definite skill set that really focuses on what they need. Lawyers can't specialize. They're not doctors. That we don't take a board certification, but we can focus. And so we focus on those people.
Okay. And so listeners are kind of thinking, you know what, this might be for me. Talk about the process once they pick up the phone. Well, first of all, your phone number is what?
402-614-6400. And probably when you do that, you'll get Kim, and she is your smiling voice, and she will tell you exactly how we're going to do this going forward. 30-minute free consultation, and that's not really a come on. I actually do look at documents. We actually do talk about what you might need to do. And you know what? If your documents are lovely, if you have all your stuff in order, we will smile. Hopefully we can hug at some point, and you'll go on down the road, and maybe someday you'll need me. If you do, we do find out you need me, we move forward and get things going. We are absolutely all about just getting her done, because once you start the momentum of trying to get these kinds of things in place, you should not stop. You know you need them, and we will keep the process going forward.
Okay. Now, the other thing, once you have the documents completed, these are ones that you kind of want to spread around out there and make sure who has them, Catherine.
Absolutely. Well, who doesn't have them is your safety deposit box, because that's not the place for them to live. The healthcare powers of attorney should be with your trusted agent, should be with the hospital. So CHI, UNMC, they will scan them and have them whenever you get there. They should be with the neighbor that maybe that person is going to step in for you. Financial power of attorney, your bank, again, that trusted child or friend who's going to take care of you, your investments, those kinds of places should have them. Copies are as good as the original. Now, that's not true about wills, but you can make as many copies as a power of attorney as you need and spread them all over the place. But don't put them in your safety deposit box and never look at them again, because they will do you no good. And after 10 years pass, they could be absolutely outdated because you never checked again. So we really encourage, we kill so many trees around here, and we send people out with photocopies. Now, we have become internet savvy. We do make a zip drive of stuff, and some people's kids want those. My clients look at me like I'm nuts, and I don't deal on that very well either, but they are able to do that and then even like take their documents on vacation with them, because it's about the size of a business card. So it works out really well.
And you may have mentioned it, but how often do folks need to pull those out and really take a good look at them?
So we have the four D's, basically. Decade, divorce, death, well, not yours, but someone that you are appointing, and diagnosis. So, and if none of those things happen, every 10 years. So things change, just pull them out, look at them, make sure that the people that you appointed are still in your life, make sure that, you know, you wouldn't know it, but maybe the law has changed, maybe you need to reach out to your attorney, because in 2013 it did. Just make sure that those are to hand and that everything is as it should be, because waiting until there's a disaster is the wrong time to check those things over again.
Okay, we have a minute and a half remaining. Final thoughts, Catherine, as you sit here and we're talking about these documents, even perhaps how they fit into the big picture of someone's planning.
Powers of attorney are probably the cornerstone of the whole thing. So if you need anything going forward, if you end up in long-term care, the facility is going to ask you for these documents. If you never go to care, your kids are going to need them down the road to take care of you. With them, perhaps you should think about having a will or a trust, some way of getting your stuff from one generation to the next. I didn't touch on HIPAA authorizations, but those are something that somebody can do ahead of time instead of every time you go to the doctor's office. And then there's always medical directives, living wills, which is a confusing term because it's not a will, but it does give your loved ones direction as to how you want those final months or days of your life to go. And you can say that ahead of time when you can no longer speak, they know what you want. And so that's a whole suite of documents that someone should really think about doing. And if you come to an office like ours, and there are other people in Omaha that do similar things to us, but we do focus on this, we'll make sure you leave with all of those documents that you need.
Okay, and your website?
Mm-hmm. www.elderlawomaha.com.
Perfect.
Elder Law of Omaha is not hard to, we pop up pretty quick usually. I think we do that on purpose.
Okay. Well, in addition to serving as a guest on today's podcast, Catherine wrote an article called Easing Stress in Times of Uncertainty. You can find it on this website in the blog section. In the meantime, I'd like to thank Catherine for joining us and my husband Mike for making us sound so good. And of course, to all of you for listening to The Art of Aging, a podcast to encourage independence and peace of mind by informing, educating, and celebrating you. I'm Kathy Wyatt-Poholsky, inviting you to join us again as we will be posting new segments every 2 weeks. Till then, may you find meaning in each and every moment, hence discovering what I believe to be the true art of aging.